Welcome to the Muse Dreams Podcast, a place to discover how to bring your art out of hiding or to the next level. I'm your host, Mia Walters. I'm an artist, the creator of the Muse Activation Method, and a certified active dreaming and intentional creativity teacher. I will be your guide on this adventure to awaken your creative inspiration at the source. Welcome back. I have a very special guest today, a friend and a fellow dream teacher, Cheryl Grant. Cheryl is a depth-oriented psychotherapist and dream work guide who helps people reconnect with the inner intelligence of their dreams and subconscious. Cheryl is a registered social worker whose approach blends trauma-informed therapy, depth psychology, and symbolic exploration. She works with dreams as meaningful communications from the psyche and teaches that we don't stop dreaming. We simply stop remembering. And that dream recall returns when we turn towards our dreams with curiosity and care. She's especially passionate about the unseen wisdom and creative guidance that emerge through dreams and synchronicities, and how engaging that inner language helps us live more meaningful and authentic lives. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me here. I'm super excited, especially to talk to you about all things dreaming. I really do have quite a passion about helping people explore their inner worlds and all the gifts and the information and the guidance that exists there.
Yeah, one of my favorite topics too, as you can tell by the name Muse Dreams, and just kind of how our dreams can really help us so much with healing, with our creativity. It's, you know, there's just so many layers to it. I was just going to ask you a little bit about your work with dreams and, you know, how that informs, you know, the care that you give people and, you know, how you work with metaphors in your own life and, you know, with dreams and symbolism in your work as well.
Yeah, there's a sort of a couple layers to that. In my work with people, I'm often curious about what lies under the surface. So when people talk about conflict or different things that are happening in their lives, I look for patterns, I look for themes, I look for parts of the self that may be at play. What I'm finding since I started introducing the idea of let's talk about what's going on in your dream world, in your dream space, that there's an extra piece of information that is necessary for what's going on. A lot of times people are so disconnected from their deeper feelings and from maybe their boss reminds them of their mom or something like that. And dreams can really yield a lot of interesting information because, as you know, we have a lot of repressed material in that subconscious layer. And when we're asleep, especially, now I view dreams under a bigger umbrella than that, but when we're asleep, that filter of the conscious mind lifts. And the things that are triggering us through the day that are just running in the background all the time, these are the things that rise to the surface. So we have repressed negative, quote unquote, negative material, the trauma, the wounds, the patterns that are bothering us, and also positive material, you know, our dreams, our desires, moments of inspiration, what our soul really wants. These are all things that come through this dream space in a very shape-shifting, non-linear way. And so it's good to sort through that in alongside what's happening in your outer world and look for the threads that are running through. So I do that with clients, and then I also do that for me. I also look at, you know, trying to record my dreams and look at what's playing itself out in the outer world and compare it to, how is this syncing up with what's going on in my dream world and vice versa? So it's a very magical life that way. It really is.
Yeah.
And you start to see patterns. You start to see a conversation that happens back and forth. So I find myself, again, with the journaling practice and looking to my dreams and looking at what's coming up for me, whether it's disturbing material or inspirational material. And I orient myself accordingly. I put myself on notice to sort of see, well, okay, where is this playing itself out? What are the steps I need to take next?
Yeah, paying attention through your journaling. Do you have any like particular powerful, like symbolic dreams that have helped guide you, or like reoccurring symbols that you've noticed with kind of tracking everything?
Yes. And I definitely need to refine my tracking system, because I'm noticing more and more and more. And I love my little handwritten notes, but getting something onto a computer, onto digital, it allows you to do those tracking, searching things a lot easier. But in terms of the dreams that kind of make me pay attention, I really pay attention when animals show up because they just carry a certain energy and presence. So I've had some really amazing experiences with owls, either embedded deep, deep, deep within a dream, and they're in the middle of a cityscape, but it looks like, you know, just this sort of piece of nature with bare branch trees filled and filled and filled with owls. And it was just so magical, and there was a deep peace there. So I took that as confirmation of sort of the spiritual path and the dream work and the pieces that owl represents to me there. And I've had a few interactions with owl that feel very real, the senses are there. I'm touching the owl. It's playing with my hair. Really cool stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So absolutely. And then just the other track with animals and recurring dreams is I'm noticing more and more that cats are just coming out of the woodwork in my dreams. They show up wherever and whenever they want. I have had a lot of dreams where cats are traveling through the vents in walls, so they're able to come into any room.
Okay.
And so it's really, really neat. So it keeps popping up in different ways.
And that's recently or like over absolutely. The course of, okay. Yeah. I didn't know if that was like a reoccurring theme for like years, or is that more recent?
Yes. So the cats in vents have been maybe the last 5 years or so. Mm. And then other times have been sort of cats maybe in my childhood home or in my childhood building or a room I've forgotten. Like there's different pieces there. Or I'm afraid my cat is out of the house and running around and I'm afraid that I'm going to lose it. So there's all these different things, but more and more what seems to be happening is they're just showing up in these mysterious ways and, you know, doing whatever they want to do and running through the dream. So now I'm feeling invited to really start looking and tracking, you know, how are they showing up? What's happening in my life at the time they're showing up? What is the larger message underneath the surface for me with respect to the cats in the dreams?
Yeah. And what do you feel the like symbolic message of an owl in your dream and a cat in your dream mean? Is that something like personal, or do you use like archetypal meanings when you're looking at it?
I blend both.
Yeah.
So what I do is I don't necessarily Google cat dreams because that's a very, very sort of one way definition of what your dream means. But I do look up sort of characteristics, traits, habits, stories of cats, like just different pieces like that to help me remember cat energy and sort of that archetypal meaning for cat. And I check for resonance because I also want to see and include what cat means to me personally. Hmm. So there's a bit of a dovetail between the personal version of cat for me, what cat means to me, and also that archetypal energy of cat, because I want to be aware of what I want to see and what I don't want to see. And interestingly enough, cat and owl are both about being able to see in the dark as one aspect of the energy they carry. It's being able to see the unseen, which is really cool when you think about it in the context of dream work.
Like nocturnal, would that be being comfortable with the unknown, or literally seeing in the dark.
I feel for me, I have this whole thing. I have a bit of a block around the psychic sort of gateway.
Mm.
And it's encouraging that they show up and invite me to become more comfortable with delving into the dream work, delving into the psyche, trusting that what I'm seeing, if it's transpersonal, means something. It's valid. It's not something to be dismissed or, you know, explained away.
Whenever I dream of cats, they're typically large cats. Like I have, and they're lurking a lot of times, or sometimes it'll be like a spirit animal that I see in like journeys and different types of dreaming, active dreaming, as we like to call it. And when that particular cat shows up, I don't have fear. It's like an ally, but there's oftentimes, you know, other large cats where it's like, is it a warning of danger or is it me? You know, I don't know. I look at it like, what is that trying to tell me? You know, with the feelings, I always like write down the feelings and things like that so I can remember, okay, what was happening in my life during that time and that kind of thing. So,
yeah, and it makes sense to work within the context of, you know, what type of cat, what feeling am I getting? Like you said, you could have two large cats in the same dream, one bringing a sense of foreboding and one bringing a sense of safety.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can play with what that means and what's being reflected back to you.
Yeah. I've heard, and I don't know if you believe this or agree, that actual cats are kind of like astral travelers and they can maybe have their dreaming bodies come into the actual dream, like meet your astral body or dreaming body in that realm. Do you have any thoughts on that?
When you say that, it makes me think of what I just talked about with the cats in vents and just showing mm-hmm. up wherever they want to and kind of using these portals to just materialize in whatever room. So it's kind of a neat thing. And I do think that cats, I think there's a lot of mystery and magic to cats.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Me too. What are you noticing? Like when you're talking with others in your work about dreaming, what are you noticing when that conversation comes up?
Yeah. What I tend to notice, and it just depends on who it is, right? So, you know, I can have a group of people who tend to take spiritual workshops and do spiritual development or people, obviously, that are taking dream workshops. So they can be very, very excited. You get some people that are like, I have the craziest dreams all the time and I'd love to know more about them. I find more generally, I'm noticing a trend where they get excited, like, oh, that sounds really interesting. And then you get the, but I don't really remember my dreams, you know? So it's interesting for me to see, because I guess I've been working with dreams for so long and I don't remember my dreams every single night, but it's interesting to see so much interest and so much hesitancy at the same time. Because they're not feeling like they remember that they can work with the material. At the time, of course, if I'm offering something, I'm offering a guided journey. So that ability to dream actively, to sort of be conscious within the dream, like these kinds of things, so that we can play with that material. But I will also invite them to try a few little steps and work to do that. So write down anything when they wake up, whatever it is, a feeling, a thought, a little bit of a song, a color, just any little thing, and 1 to 3 bullet points. I try to make it low pressure.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to get someone to remember large batches of a dream, when that dream is fading, they're going to feel discouraged. They're going to get too much in their head. They're going to shut that down and it'll fade off into the mist. So what I'm noticing, which is really, really neat, is that when they try, just the encouragement, like assume first you dream, just absolutely assume that you're dreaming all the time and you're just not bringing it back. Because so that's part of it, is like have the reassurance it's there. And you're just going to need to just tune into it enough, just enough to get a couple little blips. And with that, they usually get excited because they get the little blips. And then they're paying attention and they're writing those little blips down. Now they have more and they get more. And then they start bringing in more dream material and they're really excited. They light up about that.
Yeah.
So sometimes, I love that.
Yeah. Sometimes a fragment, even if writing it down can later trigger the whole dream. Like I remember writing a fragment of a dream about the Statue of Liberty. I was like, oh, and then I'm driving down the road and I see like one of these tax places with the blow up Statue of Liberty. And then whoosh, the whole dream came back to me. And I remember, you know, being like in the little view area in her crown and all the things that happened in the dream. But I,
that's so cool.
Yeah, because sometimes you think, oh, that's, you know, all I can remember, or even like you said, like a color or a feeling, but it can come back over time too, as you write down even just the fragments, to then start getting more and more recall. And as they say, kind of break a dream drought that way.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes too, like just letting it sit, but honoring it by, I noticed mm-hmm. something. I did see something. There was a something, you know, and like you said, absolutely. Something else can show up in your waking world that triggers the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're sitting in the shower and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this, you know, or sometimes it's a week later, something's happening and you're like, I dreamt that. Oh, I dreamt that. And more information comes.
Yeah. Like deja vu.
Yes, absolutely.
Could be years later, maybe. I don't know. So are you able to remember your dreams easily, or did that relationship develop over time? Have you always been tracking them, or when did that start for you?
So I definitely have developed over time. I do remember. I have old journals where I've written some dreams down that just really had a lot of juice. They really just stood out. They really weren't going away anytime soon. I didn't know how to work with them. I didn't really do much. I was writing about the drama of the day or my life or other things that were going on. But as I started to get into spiritual development as an adult, I was taking note of it, but also learning so many other different ways to look at life, like, you know, working with tarot and different pieces like that.
I don't think I hear her. Can you hear me? The sound just had a little glitch.
Oh.
Okay, there you go.
Okay,
you're back.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So sorry about that.
I can remember what I was saying. it might be my internet connection. So, okay, let's see. Where was I? What was I talking about?
Yeah, just how your relationship with kind of developing over time with your dreams and working with them and your spirituality.
That's it. And so, yeah, as I was saying, as a child, I did have dreams. And as a teenager, I guess, when I started journaling, I would write some of those down that had juice that kind of startled me or that, you know, but I didn't know what to do with them. And of course, there's the drama of life and growing up and all the feelings. So I was really focused on that. As I move into adulthood, you know, again, I'm noticing and documenting within my journaling the odd dream, but I still didn't know about navigating with them. I still didn't know about, you know, just working with them on a regular basis. So even as I was deepening my spiritual development path, I, again, was looking at different pockets of spiritual development. So it wasn't until I came across Robert Moss and his School of Active Dreaming that I was really hooked. And there had been a couple of synchronicities and a couple of dreams that brought me there. You know, as most of us have some form of synchronicity or some form of dream or somebody that brings us there. And that's when the gates really, really, really opened. And I started to, obviously with my counseling work and my spiritual development work and my, and now this piece with the School of Active Dreaming, I started to really pay attention and document and, take the action steps and look for the signs and synchronicities and really learn about that dialogue between the inner world and the outer world, which is what really gets me excited.
Yeah. How do you work with like archetypal symbolism with like, I know you work with tarot with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously yeah. There's the, it's kind of the larger dream symbolism archetypes that can come into our dreams. But I know you specifically work with tarot and I'm very fascinated with like oracle cards. I just recently created an oracle deck. And I've been like kind of studying tarot too, but more from the psychological perspective and like an alchemical, process and transformation perspective. And I would love to hear about like your work with tarot and all
absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely. And I love what you're doing. And now I'm like, oh, I want to find out more. I think so again, like tarot, it's multi-layered. So there's the piece around every tarot card being a world in and of itself.
Hmm.
And understanding that whatever information is coming to you through that card is multi-layered. There's symbols, there's colors, there's a vibe, a feeling, there's how it syncs up with you. And that matters. And for me, when I'm working with clients and even just the way I work with tarot cards, I'm really interested in the story the person sees when they see the card. I'm interested in their intuitive connection and even their projections, especially their projections. It's really neat because, again, you sidestep your conscious filter for just a moment. Mm. And you're like, that guy looks really mad or that guy thinks this or that, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's great because then you get to work with that. Same with the dream, And to stick with the tarot, when that archetypal energy shows up, I love, again, working with people to get them to tap into, say, the High Priestess. We talk about sort of that deeper stillness, that accessing the wisdom, like the High Priestess visiting her in the temple. Well, this is a really important invitation in. And it's easier for people to step into that when they have this image, this archetype, this energy, they can kind of like, oh, that I can relate to that. If I were to say, just access your inner wisdom, they're like, I don't know if I know what that means, because of course all their protector parts are going to come running interference, right?
Yeah.
And so what I love is when tarot shows up in my dreams, and I've had it show up in a couple of neat ways. Sneaky ways, I think. I had this one dream, which was really, really neat, where I'm at my childhood building and, there's the sort of the front foyer, if you will, and everybody's kind of gathered around. Everybody's kind of waiting for this celebrity to show up, the High Priestess.
Ooh.
And so I'm like, oh, I want to see the High Priestess too. So I'm waiting, right? And this light blue car shows up. And as we know, anyone who's familiar with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, there's a lot of blues going on, a lot of light blue. So that shade of blue shows up. And I think there's even like HP on the, hubcaps or whatever. And out comes this assistant she has, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm still waiting for the High Priestess. And then the rest of the dream unfolds where I'm with the assistant and he's so nice and he's opening doors and he's doing these different things. And people come and go. And towards the end of the dream, I'm like, I never saw her. Like, did I miss her? Did she already go in the building? And it was just really neat because I realized at some point there was that knowingness in the dream and it was like, oh, she's me. It was me. I was waiting for me to arrive as the High Priestess and move into that childhood building that symbolizes a lot subconsciously. And, there's a lot of healing that can happen with those two combined. So it was just a really cool dream because it was a sneaky one.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I've had another really, really cool one that, and I love the ones you can't possibly make up. These are great, right?
Yeah.
So I'm with my spiritual teacher and she's showing me different versions of tarot cards and I'm being taught And then suddenly in my mind's eye frame, so taking up the entire frame, is this square card coming closer and closer and closer and closer to me. And it's not one I've ever seen before. And it's got kind of like a black background, some buildings, you know, one on either side. It's got me in the middle, and it's got like this expanse of red cloth, I suppose, sort of waves of it at the bottom. And I'm in my arms. I have all this money.
Okay.
And the top of the card, because it has a white border, the top of the card in black type font, the same type font as the Rider Waite, it says renewal. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever, because it was, I'm being shown a new card, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean, that very inspiring.
Yeah. I was just going to say that has so many layers to it. Like, you could probably work with that dream for a while with, you know,
yeah,
action plans and going back into the dream, you know, all of those types of things. Yeah, that obviously, as an artist, I hear that and I'm like, the first thing I'm like, oh, I want to paint that. Like, yes. You know,
and feel free. What I did, and glad you brought that up, because I was just thinking of a whole other piece around those action steps and how they can be very helpful in bringing out other information. Because I did draw it, and then I drew it a couple times, and I found that when I wanted to draw it again, I wanted to put a moon there. And then I wanted a tarot deck, a little tarot deck at the bottom, and a journal, a dream journal. So it was kind of neat that it wasn't conscious me. It was an idea that came up as I was drawing it, that it was like, oh, that belongs there, you know. And much like whenever we bring back a lot of dream material, we're not necessarily bringing back every single thing in our dream. So sometimes as we're drawing out a scene or an image, we get some other pieces of information. Your conscious brain is going to say, oh, that didn't happen in the dream. Write it anyway.
Yeah.
Because it may well have, or it's extra information coming to you at the time that you're creating it and honoring it.
Yeah. I work with people where we do active dreaming sessions, and we bring back those symbols to put into the painting. That's exactly kind of how we source some of the material for the painting. So that just really aligns with like inspiring creativity through dreams. Now, tell me just a little bit, I'm very curious about your upcoming course and how you work with dreams with that, and would love to hear a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. So it's called Engaging the Dream, and my Instagram handle is Engaging the Dream, and I picked Engaging the Dream because I really honor and feel passionate about the weaving and the noticing and the honoring of the dialogue between the information and guidance you're receiving in your dreaming world and the information and the guidance you're receiving in your waking world. So level one is introducing us and awakening the inner listener. We're going to talk about dreams. We're going to get our feet wet. We're going to share the types of things that are coming up in our sleeping dreams or waking dreams. So there's a very introductory piece in the beginning, the first sort of class. And then we get deeper into like how to work with our dreams. And it's a cumulative piece. So each class is some active dreaming. Each class, we have a guided visualization. We spend some time journaling about that. We'll share about the symbols. We'll walk through the lightning dream work process that Robert Moss teaches. So we very much share in a circle, in the sense of hearing each person's visualization or dream, and then sharing if it were my dream. So it's not about, I think your dream means this. It's about me with my history, my family of origin, my wounds, my gifts, my dreams and desires. If I had this dream and woke up with this dream, this is what it would mean for me. And it's beautiful, the type of synchronicity that runs through each dream share, and the depth of the connections that get made. So each class has a teaching component, has the guided visualization, so that we're honing those dreaming skills. I have dream journal prompts every day that get emailed. So again, people are working with dream material. They're taking action steps. They're recording. So they're bringing back more each time. And then, so we talk a little bit more about sort of that all of the layers of starting to work with your dreams. So that when you leave the course, you're having a lot more dream material. You know how to work with it. You're looking for how to sync it up, you know, with information you're getting in your waking world. And you may even have a bit of a community of people you want to continue to share your dreams with.
Sounds wonderful. Yeah, I think dreams are one of the most underutilized like tools for so much, not only like healing from, you know, any kind of traumas and things like that, but like for creativity, for, you know, finding purpose, for so much. So and then having that container for people to work with that and to learn how to tap into that is just, I feel like, such a wonderful offering, you know, to be able to give people and share with them.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just kind of curious too, as you've been, you know, talking a little bit about like waking life and, you know, hearing, because I think like you do after working with dreams for a while that we're kind of always in a dream in a way.
Yeah.
You get the waking dream and your sleeping dreams, your active dreams. How do like dreams influence your waking life and in that relationship with the waking life and the, you know, the dreaming?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the more you work with your dreams, the more you realize there's a very thin veil, if any, between the worlds. What I see is that we're the bridge between the worlds, so that the information is coming through in both directions. And the more we work with and act on our dreams and work with and act on the things that are happening in our daytime lived experience, the more we're pulling that narrative and that dialogue into one reality. So the guidance is all the time. It's again, you're seeing, it's a much more magical life. You're seeing connections, you're seeing a story, you're having a conversation. So I have a conversation, you know, I get busy and distracted like everyone else. And sometimes I forget, and a dream comes and nudges me and reminds me, or some really cool synchronicity kind of pops up, and, or a sign on a building makes me laugh and brings me back. I will ask a question in my mind and see something on a license plate that will be the answer. And it's just absolutely fun and hilarious. And it's not always fun and games. I mean, you get upsetting material that shows up in both worlds. What I like to do too is, if my conscious mind is getting in the way in a waking world situation, I'm calling it a waking world situation, I start doubting myself, I will stop and think, if this were a dream, if this whole scenario unfolded in a dream, how would I see and interpret this? I would not dismiss it as easily.
Yeah, that's a really powerful question. Kind of makes me think about, you know, how dreams have helped me like transform a lot of, you know, things I've dealt with in the past and how I deal in my relationships and even make decisions and choices moving forward in my life. What kind of like transformations do you see? Like, what do people come to you to help them kind of bridge that dream world, their purpose for wanting to do that? And what kind of like, I guess, transformations are you seeing when people actually, you know, actively engage with their dreams?
Some people come to me because they have this recurring dream that just, like, they don't know it. Why is this happening over and over and over again? You know, or they'll talk about nightmares, or they're just really interested and want to know more. But I find that it's usually a question. There's usually an, I don't understand why this keeps coming up for me. Mm-hmm. And so as we walk through the dream, as we're telling the dream, you know, also getting to understand and ask questions that invite them into a deeper reflection of what's happening in their outer world, what other patterns are going on, where does this sync up with their lived experience? And those aha moments, and they happen in dream share circles too, where someone is sharing a different way to look at it. And then that deeper connection to, oh my God, this is exactly what I was, I had this question and this challenge, and I had no idea that all this dream just kept telling me over and over again what I needed to see. You know, because you can't change something until you see it. The transformation cannot happen until you become aware, until you bring the light of awareness to it. So as you're looking at the material in the dream and you're actually trying it on and you're actually looking at how it syncs up with other information in your life, you know, these connections happen that are game changers.
Yeah. Like dream is oracle kind of too.
Amazing. I love it.
Yeah. It's like you said, one of my favorite topics. I just wanted to, you know, thank you so much for all you're doing to help bring awareness to dreaming. And as I say, to, you know, be an ambassador of the dream. And people can find you at Engaging the Dream on Instagram, right? And we'll include all the ways to get in touch with you in the show notes. And Cheryl-Grant.ca is your website. Okay. And they can find how to register for your new course coming up. Engaging the Dream Level 1 is starting soon.
Yes. In March.
In March. Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Cheryl, so very much for being here with me and talking about dreams and sharing your wisdom and knowledge and everything with everybody.
And thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you for holding the space for creativity and dreaming.
Yeah, this has been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. And today we've been speaking with Cheryl Grant, a depth-oriented psychotherapist and dreamwork guide, about the role dreams play as living messages from the inner world. Cheryl's approach invites people into relationship with their dreams as a source of guidance, healing, and creative insight. She teaches that we don't stop dreaming, we simply stop remembering, and that turning toward our dreams with curiosity can restore that connection. And if this conversation resonated with you, you can explore more of her work, dream resources, sessions, and her upcoming course, Engaging the Dream Level 1, at Cheryl-Grant.ca. Thank you so much for listening to the Muse Dreams podcast. Follow us on your favorite social media at Muse Dreams Art and on our website at musedreams.com for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and to sign up for the Muse Letter and more. If you have questions or show topics, I'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas, so feel free to reach out and connect. Muse Dreams, a podcast for artists, dreamers, and spiritual seekers on the path of creative discovery.